Blog Talk Radio. And that's what we should do to make it right, to fall in love with Jesus tonight in our lives. Jesus gives us the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alico. And that was Margaret Becker in her song, Make It Right. And she's right. She's saying it right. To make it right, to fall in love with Jesus, His Sacred Heart. And tonight, at this time, I'm looking at the 10th promise. I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. This promise of our Lord is a most important one. How many people today can identify having loved ones who have gone astray, gone into apostasy? This promise shows the Lord's intent to touch the most hardened hearts, who many times hate God. Many have been deceived into false doctrines, who twist the scriptures and lure people into darkness, calling it light. Problems are also coming from within the leaders, who abuse their authority and hurt the faith instead of helping the faith. Psalms 95 verses 8 and 9 states, "Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the desert. There your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my works." The people hardened their hearts against Moses, challenging the Lord. As a result, the people wandered 40 years in the desert. Sometimes we find ourselves wandering in a strange land ourselves, and through a thousand different reasons, we find ourselves in spiritual bondage. In my nearly 27 years in the United States Army, I had many encounters with those in such bondage, literally living in the trenches. I was able to reach many that would never see a priest. I would send them to a priest once I was able to share the Catholic faith with them. Ephesians chapters 4, 17 through 19 states, "So I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds, darkened in understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of their ignorance, because of their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have handed themselves over to licentiousness for the practice of every kind of impurity to excess." Sadly, I have many times ran into a person who might have been baptized Catholic, and that was it. No religious training, no further care for the upbringing of the child. Recently, I spoke with a 16-year-old girl whose parents left the church when she was 4 years old. I spent 2 hours explaining the Catholic faith. It's sad when the priests themselves are responsible for sending their young into this, when the parents themselves are responsible for sending their young into this spiritual bondage. They become ignorant, and it would take a miracle to reach them. Reaching these people is exactly what our Lord seeks to find. Yes, we need faithful priests who will have the backbone to care, to be good leaders that will touch these hardened hearts. But these priests need support around them, prayer warriors willing to stand in the gap for them. I am like a first base coach, working to get such a person on first base and help them towards second base. From second base, the third base coach, the Catholic priest, gets them to third and finally to home plate. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 states, "So I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds, darkened in understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance, because of their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have handed themselves over to licentiousness for the practice of every kind of impurity of evil. I wanted you to hear this because that's what's happening. The word heart is spoken in the Bible, other than the Bible, almost 1,000 times. The heart as the seat of emotion can lead a person in the wrong direction. Feelings is not the foundation of truth, not without knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Mark 6, 45-52 states, "Then he made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on shore. Then he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke with them, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' He got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened." Notice this large crowd hardened their hearts. That affected their ability to see the wonderful truth of the multiplication of the loaves of bread. Like then, many people hardened their hearts against the miracle of the Eucharist. I want to say that again. Like then, many people today harden their hearts against the miracle of the Eucharist, which happens at every Mass. Their ignorance closes their eyes and turns them to every rabbit hole imaginable. It is a very sick spiritual condition. Through the 10th promise of the Lord Jesus, he offers hope to us who have loved ones gone astray, who it will take a miracle to reach them. Do not let indifference to the Catholic faith be the reason why your loved ones are cursed into spiritual bondage. Let our eyes be opened so that we can see with the eyes of faith, to know the difference of what God's word really is. Oh, this is so important. The 10th promise, "I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts." Oh, that is so, so important. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash came out with that song, I Walk the Line, in 1956. And I was born in 1956. And so because of my mother, thankfully because of my mother, and the Holy Catholic Church, I've been walking his line ever since. And what a great line it is. So I'm very thankful.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of his search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
And we're talking about priests. The importance of Jesus in establishing the priesthood, beginning with his 12 apostles, beginning with his apostles, to today we call that apostolic succession, the call of the priesthood of Christ. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When he came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot. who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. The apostles would become the foundation of the priesthood of Christ, who commissioned him to go to all the world. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20. Our Lady would see these chosen men as her sons. Psalms 45, verse 16. Well, St. John would see these men as priests of Jesus' kingdom. Revelations chapter 5, 10. I wish that I had a nickel for every time I heard someone tell me that Christ did away with the priesthood and the sacrifice. I'd be a rich man today. I am rich, but not necessarily through worldly wealth. I am blessed beyond measure for the times that God has saved me and forgiven me, healing me and restoring me through his priesthood in my life. Every time I go to confession, I receive his grace. My sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. Every time I receive Jesus in Holy Communion, I renew the covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created all creation, the stars and the heavens. Some people look to the stars for their answers. I can go to the one who made the stars, who is the answer. Jesus offers us his grace through the ministry of his Catholic Church. What great blessing, what great blessings we receive that cleanses us, heals us, forgives us, and strengthens us. The Old Testament priesthood of Levi was a foreshadowing of the priesthood of Christ. God's people in the Old Testament received a glimpse and the hope for what Christ initiated in the upper room. Christ is the Son of David who sits upon the throne. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. Moses said, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kinsmen. To him you shall listen." Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15. Compare this with what Jesus said. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. Luke chapter 10, 16. Moses was laying the foundation for the promise of the Messiah. Jesus is giving his authority to his priesthood. As Moses came down the mountain, came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the commandments, in his hands, he did not know that the skin of his face had become radiant while he conversed with the Lord. Exodus chapter 34, 29. Matthew chapter 17, 2 and 3 states, "And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, Peter, James, and John. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him." Moses shone brightly because he was in the presence of Almighty God. Jesus shone brightly, revealing his glory as the second person in the Blessed Trinity. The Israelites were given manna to feed the people in the desert. Exodus chapter 16. Jesus is the bread of life, who restores life through an everlasting covenant, John 6. Moses struck the water, giving drink to the thirsty, Exodus chapter 17, 6. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. John chapter 4 verse 10. John chapter 4 verse 10. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament sacrifices of the animals with his own sacrifice on the cross, as the Old Testament sacrifices blotted out sin as a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Ephesians chapter 5, 1-5 states, so be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. Immorality or any impurity or greed must not be mentioned among you, as is fitting among the holy ones. No obscenity or silly or suggestive talk, which is out of place, but instead, thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no immoral or impure or greedy person, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. If you've been caught in that, go to confession quickly. Do it now and get that off of you. Get rid of it. St. Peter instructs the presbyters, the priests. So I exhort the presbyters among you as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ and one who has a share in the glory to be revealed. Tend the flock of God in your midst, overseeing not by constraint but willingly, as God would have it, not for shameful profit, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Notice St. Peter instructing them to tend the flock of God. Jesus had instructed St. Peter with the very same charge, tend my sheep and feed my lambs. John chapter 21:15-16. Jesus gives his church the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the power to bind and loose, the power to forgive sins, to anoint the sick, to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. Do this in memory of me. Luke chapter 22:19. The apostles ordained men through the imposition of hands of the presbyteriate. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Through apostolic succession, the priesthood, the presbyteriate of Christ, continues to offer the pure and holy sacrifice. For from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and everywhere they bring sacrifice to my name and a pure offspring. Malachi 1, verse 11. Jesus Christ is this pure offering. The sacrifice is the Mass. Jesus offers himself to the Father in an unbloodied sacrifice, a perpetual sacrament offered continually. Jesus died only once and for all, but the efficacy of that sacrifice is present in the Mass. When you receive the Eucharist, you receive Jesus Christ, totally body, blood, soul, and divinity. Transubstantiation, in Latin, transubstantio, in Greek, transubstantiate, means to change of the substance of host bread and sacramental wine into the substance of the body and blood, respectively, of Jesus in the Eucharist, while all that is accessible to the senses, accidents, remains as before. From the Didache, let no one eat or drink of the Eucharist with you except those who have been baptized in the name of the Lord. For it was in reference to this that the Lord said, do not give that which is holy to dogs. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. St. Ignatius of Antioch wrote, I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. St. Ignatius of Antioch wrote, in 106 AD, stand aloof from such heretics, because among other reasons, they abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer, because they confess not the Eucharist to be the flesh of our Savior Jesus Christ, which suffered for our sins, and which the Father of his goodness raised up again. St. Justin the Martyr wrote, and his feast day was just yesterday, June the 1st, "Not as common bread and common drink do we receive these, but in like manner as Jesus Christ, our Savior, having been made flesh by the word of God, had both flesh and blood for our salvation. So likewise have we been taught that the food which is blessed by the prayer of his word, and from which our blood and flesh is flesh by transmutation are nourished, is the flesh and blood of that Jesus who was made flesh." St. Justin Martyr wrote, "Now it is evident that in this prophecy to the bread which our Christ gave us to eat, in remembrance of his being made flesh for the sake of his believers, for whom also he suffered, and to the cup which he gave us to drink, in remembrance of his own blood, and giving us thanks. This is the Catholic Church. This is the kingdom of God on earth. This is the New Testament, based from the new and everlasting covenant established by our Lord Jesus Christ. The Virgin Mary appeared at Fatima, Portugal, echoes Hebrews chapter 13:18, "Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a clear conscience, wishing to act rightly in every respect. I especially ask for your prayers, that I may be restored to you very soon." Mary would warn us not to judge a priest, but to pray for them. There would be priests that will displease our Lord. They will face judgment, and they need our prayers. As we go forward through the church year, remember to pray and obey our leaders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Prayer for priests. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Inspire them with the vision of your kingdom. Give them the words they need to spread the gospel. Allow them to experience joy in their ministry. Help them to become instruments of your divine grace. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen. Novena prayer to the Sacred Heart. O my Jesus, you have said, "Truly I say to you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Behold, I knock, I seek, and I ask for the grace of conversion of loved ones who have gone astray. Help them go to a priest and give that priest the wisdom to reach out to them. O my Jesus, you have said, "Truly I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Behold, in your name I ask the Father for the grace of conversion of family members that have become lukewarm. Help them guide them to a priest, a Catholic priest, but have the wisdom to reach them in honor of your Sacred Heart. O my Jesus, you have said, "Truly I say to you, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Encouraged by your infallible words, I now ask for the grace of conversion of loved ones, those who have gone astray and lukewarm, that they would go and that a priest would help them with your spirit. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, for whom it is impossible not to have compassion on the afflicted, have pity on us miserable sinners and grant us the grace which we ask of you through the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, your tender mother and ours. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning, weeping, in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Saint Joseph, foster father of Jesus, pray for us. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. Saint Margaret Mary Alico, pray for us. to be a God-pleaser, to please his sacred heart. Jesus says, his 10th promise, I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. This promise of our Lord. Let's pray and lift up the hands of the priests to do the Lord's will.